And now, get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Vic and Sade, written by Paul Reimer. Vic and Sade. It's brought to you by Ivory Flakes.
Ivory Flakes. With their gentle care, your clothes will give you up to twice the wear.
Well, Margaret, you look slightly like the cat that swallowed the canary this morning. What's up?
Nothing. Except that I just bought something I've always wanted.
Oh, what?
Some black lingerie.
Well, aren't you the daring one?
Not especially. Being warm this year.
Why doesn't somebody tell me these things?
That is information contained in the women's page of any newspaper, Ed. Have you noticed it, friend? So many fashion notes say black lingerie is the latest thing. It's awfully pretty. Comes in shimmery rayon. If you get some, you'll love it. And you know, you can wash and wash it. Just remember to do it gently in Ivory Flakes, and it'll stay lovely. Up to twice as long, too.
That's the way to wash any nice clothes, friend.
Oh, yes. Your pastel slips and nightgowns.
Your flowered house coats. Your new spring rayon dresses. With Ivory Flakes care, you'll get up to twice the wear from them.
But don't wash any fine clothes the wrong way, with the wrong kind of soap.
Oh, no. It's a proven fact. That can fray seams and fade colors.
And nobody wants to wear frayed, faded colors, even if they're only under things. You know, I remember when I was lots younger, I used to say, oh, what difference does it make if my slip is frayed? Nobody will see it. And my grandmother always used to say, Margaret, you might be in an accident.
Well, let that be a lesson to you, friend. Keep all your nice clothes in good condition.
Including your rayon stockings. And that's where Ivory Flakes shine again. Just wash your rayons every night in Ivory Flakes, and they'll fit better. They'll look sleek.
And folks, in strain tests that were made, rayons washed in Ivory Flakes lasted twice as long as rayons washed with the wrong kind of soap.
Oh, Ivory Flakes are mild.
Of course, they're the flake form of pure ivory soap.
Change to gentle Ivory Flakes care for your blouses, slips, house coats. You'll get up to twice the wear.
And now, back to Vic and Sade.
Well, sir, the evening meal has been over only a little while as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find Vic and young Russell. Vic is established in his easy chair, languidly leafing through the newspaper, and young Russell, newly arrived from the kitchen, prepares to seat himself on the davenport.
Hello, Gov.
Huh?
Hello.
It is dull and wearisome to take the time to say hello to a guy you just finished eating supper with.
Yeah, but a person hesitates to enter a room with another person who's sitting in a chair and not say anything.
Life is a pretty rugged proposition.
Yes.
Why aren't you helping Mama with the dishes?
She threw me out of the kitchen.
Because you were a naughty boy?
I let Aunt Bess's fancy gravy boat slip out of my hand and it fell on the floor and got broke.
So you're in disgrace all around, are you? You're a poor, unloved creature, disdained and scorned
Vic,
by your fellows.
Here's Uncle Fletcher back
buffeted
again.
By cruel fates and destiny to
Mom's
weep.
Mom's saying something. Yeah, Mom? Vic, here's Uncle Fletcher back again.
Hello, Dr. Sleech. Gee, but you got pretty eyes.
Uncle Fletcher's here.
I don't see him.
He's out in the alley by the garbage box talking with Charlie Razor's thumb.
I hope to have a pleasant chat. What was it the Port Keats said to the Port Browner when he held a dandelion underneath
He'll be in a minute.
The Port Keats will?
Uncle Fletcher will.
So what? It's no novelty for him to call. He was here just yesterday.
He was here this afternoon.
Oh, was he?
Oh, didn't you listen to one single word I said at the supper table?
I listened white-lipped and trembling to every syllable you uttered. My lower jaw sagged and my eyeballs started from their sockets.
I told you, Uncle Fletcher and me had a little run-in this afternoon.
Of course you did. All comes back to me. You and Uncle Fletcher had a little run-in. Yes,
What'd we have a little run-in about?
Well, Uncle Fletcher kept popping up...
Let your father answer. What'd we have our little run-in about, Vic?
Why, you had your little run-in about... Well, you were home here, and Uncle Fletcher stopped past, and this was this afternoon, of course. Wasn't it this afternoon?
Don't bother trying to act like you listened. Uncle Fletcher stopped past this afternoon.
See? Just like I said, he did stop past this afternoon.
Let me talk.
He did stop past this afternoon.
We've got to be extra sweet and pleasant to him when he comes in. He's sulky and sullen and touchy, and I want him to get over it.
Why is he sulky and sullen and touchy?
Oh, dear, I might as well have saved my breath.
Well, heck, you can't expect a man to absorb every...
You saw him sullen and touchy because I cut him off short when he started another long recital about his landlady getting married.
Oh.
He did the same thing as yesterday. Acted all solemn and grave and mysterious and went into big important speeches and the same toffee talk trash he's been giving me for weeks now.
His landlady getting married, huh?
Yeah.
I'm getting slightly weary of his landlady getting married.
Well, me too, and that was the trouble this afternoon.
Did you tell him you were getting weary of it?
Oh, just the same as. I was busy and tired and warm and was afraid I was going to have a headache. And here come Uncle Fletcher in the kitchen tracking dirt on my linoleum I just scrubbed and starting right out with his landlady junk. Sadie, honey, he says, you may or may not know what and where Cleveland, Ohio are, but my landlady...
Here he is now.
Huh, Uncle Fletcher?
The screen door just slammed.
I'll be extra sweet and pleasant to him, Vic. No teasing or joking. Pretend you don't notice he's sulky. Get him to tell stories. Make him forget he's mad.
Hello, Vic?
Vic? Mm-hmm. No, Sadie.
Greetings, old pal.
In the living room, are they, Vic?
Maybe he's not even speaking to me.
Oh.
Well, no, maybe he's not.
Be right with you, Vic. I have to tie my shoestring.
Tie your shoestring, old pal.
Uncle Fletcher's always tying his shoestring or getting something out of his tooth.
No teasing or joking or funny business out of you either, mister.
Hmm.
His landlady threatening to get married and move away is an important thing to him. But I've had it dinned into my ears so darn much. And this afternoon when I was working so hard and dripping with perspiration and tired and scared of a headache coming on, I just couldn't keep from speaking up blunt and sharp and
all
singing.
All by yourself in the living room, are they, Vic?
No, two beautiful girls are with me.
Good evening, Uncle Fletcher.
Good evening, Sadie.
Speaking to me, anyway.
He never tacked any honey on there. He just addressed you as Sadie.
I'm thankful he addressed me at all.
Not entertaining company, are they?
No.
Well, and Russell on deck, too.
Hi, Uncle Fletcher.
Hello, Russell. How was school today?
You keep forgetting this is summer vacation.
The professor wasn't forced to cane Pepper Flood, you.
No.
Vic, honey, I'll tell you who I stopped past.
Wish you would, old pal.
I believe you have in your possession a book of maps.
Sure, in Atlas.
Alas?
Beg pardon?
Did you say alas?
No, I said Atlas.
I thought you said alas.
I said Atlas.
I thought you meant, alas, I have no book of maps.
An atlas is a book of maps.
Alas?
Oh, heck, Willie.
Yes.
You want to look at my book of maps?
I'd like to, if it's handy.
Where's our atlas, Russell? Bookcase?
I think so.
Go see.
So,
does it look like rain out, Uncle Fletcher?
No.
Paper stated rain tonight.
No.
Weatherman's been prophesying the weather real good lately.
Yes, indeed.
I guess you can't expect him to hit it on the nose every single day, though.
It does not look like rain out, Sadie.
Take that, Dr. Sleech.
How have you been feeling, Vic, honey?
First rate. I not only feel good, but I look good. In fact, I'm healthy, happy, handsome, wealthy, charming, and talented.
That's right.
And I'm also anti-disestablishmentarianistic.
Yes, I know.
And how are you?
I can't complain.
Did you recover from that ache you had in the roof of your mouth?
I beg your pardon?
This afternoon you complained about having something in your tooth and said it felt like something sharp that was poking you in the roof of your mouth.
Yes, I was here this afternoon. I was here this afternoon, yes. And the only reason I'm stopping past this evening is to glance through your book of maps.
Here you are, Uncle Fletcher.
Thanks, Russell, honey. I give you a copper when I left my pouch home on the sideboard. This is the book of maps, is it?
Uh-huh.
Fine. I want to look up the shortest route to various localities, Vic, honey.
Oh, go right ahead.
Cody, Wyoming, Abilene, Texas, Snuffler, New Mexico, Pipesock, Arizona.
Thinking about taking a trip, Uncle Fletcher?
How's that, Russell, honey?
Are you thinking about taking a trip?
Ain't you kind of a young fellow to be asking questions?
Hmm.
The young lads does have a pretty large bump of curiosity, I guess.
Hmm.
Well, Vic, honey, if you'll excuse me a little bit, I'll consult this book of maps.
Not at all.
Go right ahead with your conversation.
All right. Hello, Sadie.
Hello.
How are you?
Dandy.
Did you ever have the sensation your hat was too tight?
Where are you going, Uncle Fletcher?
Over by the window where there's more light.
Well, wait a second. Russell can turn on the lamp.
Window is fine. You just go ahead with your conversation. Just go ahead with your conversation.
Hello, Sage.
What?
Let's go ahead with our conversation.
Oyster Cracker dearly loves to
tell. I'm very anxious to see what's the shortest drop to Emporia, Kansas, Lincoln, Nebraska, Little Rock, Arkansas, and Hollow Crow, Missouri.
Oh, boy, hot dog.
Is he going to take a trip?
I don't know.
I also want to find out about Chank, Louisiana, Denver, Colorado, Boston, Utah, and Fremont, North Dakota.
Sure you do, old pal.
Something strange about this bothers me.
Oyster Cracker loves to tell his dear, close, intimate friends about the tiny
fishing. I'm particularly interested in the shortest drop to McPurple, Oregon.
Uh-huh.
Big honey.
Uh-huh.
I'm particularly interested in the shortest drop to McPurple, Oregon.
I don't blame you.
Particularly interested.
Uh-huh.
No, but about Oyster Cracker. He really loves to tell about...
Huh? All this Father Owl is to frighten me.
Huh?
Well, of course. He wants me to think he's going off somewhere. See, his landlady, Miss Keller, gets married and moves to North Dakota, and he pulls upstate.
Here's the map I want. Shows just how to get to McPurple, Oregon.
Oh, boy, big stuff.
I'm being raked over the coals for my performance this afternoon. I'm being punished. He's showing me what's what. He figures his niece Sadie is getting too bossy and needs to be taken down a peg or two. He's demonstrating that if he feels like pulling up stakes and going to Oregon, he'll just go ahead and pull up stakes and go to Oregon.
I have found, Vic, honey, the information I require. I have found in your book of maps the shortest route to McPurple, Oregon.
Well, peachy.
I have also found the shortest route to Cody, Wyoming, Abilene, Texas, Snuffler, New Mexico, Pipesock, Arizona, Emporia, Kansas, and Hollow Croon, Missouri.
Well, great.
I have acquired the information I sought.
Great.
I will now saunter on down to the interurban station.
Well, don't hurry. Stick around.
Thanks, Vic, honey, but I have to saunter on down to the interurban station.
Well, of course, if you have to.
Goodbye, Vic, honey.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Russell, honey.
Goodbye, Uncle Fletcher.
Goodbye, Sadie.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. Say, do you know George? Sure you do. George is anybody else except first person singular. But you know, we can't win a war by letting George do it. Of course, each of us must do our own share, large or small. And there's no small things in war. You might think, for instance, that a tablespoon of used fat is small. But listen, let me tell you something. One tablespoon will help make vaccine for 73 men. No, one tablespoon of used fat is neither small nor unimportant. Our estimated need for used fat this year is 230 million pounds. Now, those pounds must come out of the kitchens of America to make more than 200 vital war products for use overseas and here. Friends, the turning in of used fats has slowed up in recent weeks. Are some of us letting George do it? The actual photographs of our fighting men, of our wounded, speak eloquently to us that the need is urgent to save, to turn into your butcher, your used fat. Again tomorrow, join in the fun with Vic and Sage. Same time, same station. This is Ed Hurley.
And Margaret MacDonald.
Saying good day for Ivory Flakes. Save soap. It's a wartime duty. Soap is made of vital war materials. Check soap wasting habits. Make soap saving your habit. This is the National Broadcasting Company.